1 Corinthians, please, in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read one verse here and preach just a few minutes. Verse 18, where the Holy Bible said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told. You know, we know that this Bible is one great storybook from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's revelation of Himself and His plans and purposes and His power. But this one big story is made up of many stories, neighbor. In this Bible, we have the story of sin. What a pitiful story, neighbor. How sin defiled the creation of God. There's the story of Satan. The story of sin-struck, suffering man. But thank God that the story of the cross of Calvary rises up out of the ruin and the reproach of sin. That old rugged cross becomes the harbor of hope. Hallelujah. The anthem of the ages. The welcome for the wounded. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Every story centers around the cross. What wonderful stories you'll find in this precious book. We find the story of the descendant of the seed of the woman who would come and bruise the tempter's head. There's the story of the blood of the lamb on the doorpost in Egypt. There's the story of the brazen serpent lifted up on a pole. But I want to give you a few thoughts this morning about this greatest story ever told. Let me say first, it's a tender story, neighbor. It's a tender story as the dear Lamb of God took those last weary steps from Pilate's hall to the top of Calvary's hill. I'll tell you, he staggered under the weight of the cross. People were lined on both sides of the path, and the Bible said they were weeping. I'll tell you, neighbor, there's something about the cross that'll tender your heart when nothing else will. Amen. There's something about the Lord of glory suffering on that tree that'll tender the hardest heart. It's a tender story, neighbor. We see the tender affection of God in this story. Who could look at what happened at Calvary and ever doubt the love of Almighty God? In John 15:13, the Bible said that no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'll tell you, neighbor, it was great love that gave us Calvary. The tender affection of God for sinners was lifted up on an awful cross, neighbor. If you're lost here this morning, if you're not saved, the tender affection of God is reaching out for your soul. True love, neighbor, true love is not measured by what we receive, but by what we give. Amen. And in His great love for our souls, He gave His Son. Amen. In giving His Son, He gave His birth. I mean, what a humble birth, neighbor. There was no power. Palace chamber for our Lord to be born in. There was no soft satin sheets to lay His little body on, but in a crude stable on a pallet of straw. There was no warm blanket to wrap His little body in, only swaddling clothes, neighbor. He gave His birth as on the mission field
in Haiti many years ago, and we'd been out preaching, coming back into Capation. There was a medical clinic up there before you get to town. But we looked up on the side, and coming down the hill was a group of people, and they had a woman in a straight-back chair carrying her down that hill, trying to stop us, to get us to take her into the clinic. And she was heavy with child, and we stopped, and we told them we'd take her, but that little mother had gone as far as she could go, neighbor. And there with her back against a rock, she brought a little black baby boy into the world. And my mind raced back to Bethlehem, and I thought, as I looked at that little baby, what a humble birth, what a humble, how humble he came into the world. But I thought about my Savior. You know why our Lord was born in a stable? You know why he had such a humble birth? So he could identify with that little old boy there by the side of the road. So he could identify with you and me, neighbor. Holy, this world received him. Oh, he gave his birth, neighbor. Not only that, he gave his back. The Bible said in the scripture that they plowed long furrows in his back. I mean, they ripped up his back with a cat of nine tails, neighbor. It looked like you had plowed up a field. He gave his back. He gave his brow in his birth. They planted a crown of thorns and placed on his head in mockery. And they wasn't these little thorns that we see. But there in Palestine, those thorns were like ice picks. And they planted those thorns and pressed down on his brow. And some books I've read, they said that perhaps those thorns pierced down through his eyebrows, down into his through his eyelids, into his cheekbones. I'm telling you, neighbor, he gave his blessed brow. The tragic, this tender story, neighbor, is of my Lord giving himself. He gave his blood. Hallelujah. He said, this is the blood, my blood that he sheds for the remission of sin. And if your sin's gone today, if your sin is washed away in the blood, you got a right to rejoice. Hallelujah. You can shout victory, thank God, because your sin's gone.
I'll never have to face them again. My condemnation's gone. Hallelujah. My past is gone. My guilt is gone. Plunged in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. This is a tender story, neighbor. Listen, there's a tender appeal of the Son in this story. We all got a lot on our minds in these days. It's hard to sit in a church service and not be distracted by one thing or another. But I'll tell you, neighbor, if we could draw the wanderings of our minds in, and if we could just see him, see the Lamb of God on the cross, where he gave himself as the sin bearer and the sacrifice for our sins, it would touch our hearts, neighbor. It would tender our hearts. If we could hear his tender appeal, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
I mean, he's suffering at the hands of his tormentors. He makes this tender appeal to the Father. Greedy, filthy men are sitting at the foot of the cross and gambling for the only possession he had in the world, neighbor. And they were close enough to hear the dripping of the blood, but they were oblivious to his sufferings. He still prayed to the Father, forgive them. His tender appeal, brother, was forgive. But it was far-reaching, hallelujah. His tender appeal to the Father for forgiveness reached all the way down through the ages to where I fell in the altar and cried out to God. And hey, God answered his prayer again. He said, forgive him. Forgive him, hallelujah. And God forgave me.
Amen.
For Jesus' sake. It's a tender story. But then, it's a tragic story. This tragic story is filled with grief, neighbor. I mean, it's bathed in tears. No doubt tears flowed from Mary's eyes as she beheld his suffering and dying on that horrible tree. No doubt she remembered old Simeon saying to her there in the temple, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. No doubt her heart was shattered, neighbor. Her soul was rent. Tears flowed like a fountain. I'll tell you this story. This story is filled with grief. I don't know if angels can cry or not. But if they can, I'm sure there would have been tears in heaven that day. The darkest day in all history, neighbor. A day of grief and tears. We know how Mary grieved. But how could we ever describe the suffering and the grief of God the Father, the nails that pierced the hands and feet of our Lord, pierced the heart of the Father? This tragic story is filled with grief. It's filled with gloom. It started over there in the upper room at the Last Supper, when Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And the Scripture said they were exceedingly sorrowful and heavy. Gloom filled that upper room, neighbor. Immediately they began to say, Lord, is it I? After they had ate the Lord's Supper, they went out. Well, the Bible said they sang a hymn and went out. And they crossed the little brook Kidron and entered the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said he began to be very sorrowful and heavy and fell on his face and prayed. I'm talking about gloom, neighbor. So thick you could have felt it. The tragic story is filled with gloom. Amen. But thank God, it's also filled with glory. They laid his cold body in Joseph's new tomb, neighbor, and his disciples were filled with grief and gloom. But somehow they didn't remember how he had told them that he must die, but he wasn't going to stay dead. Hallelujah. Mary came to the tomb early that morning and found that huge stone rolled away, neighbor, and an angel said, he's not here. He's risen. From the grave he arose. A mighty triumph for this folk. Well, thank God that he lives today. Woo, glory. We're not serving a dead Jew. He lives. He got up, walked away, took the keys. Amen. Woo! Glory.
He conquered death.
Amen. And for you and me, that means that the grave has lost its fear and dread, neighbor, because He lives.
Amen.
There was gloom in the upper room in that gathering. There was gloom in the garden. There was gloom at Golgotha. There was gloom at the grave. But hallelujah, that third morning, there was glory. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, the spectacular glory of the risen Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hey, I feel like having me a shouting spell. Hey, I'd run all the way to Goobertown, Arkansas, if it wasn't so far back. I'm telling you, blessed be God. There's glory in the story of the risen Savior. Amen. He got up. Amen. Death couldn't hold Him. You say it's a traveled story. He told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And it's traveled the globe, neighbor. I mean, it's crossed the oceans and frontiers. It's chopped its way into the dense jungle. This story of the cross, it's reached the islands and the sea. It's forged its way into the vast northland. It's crossed burning deserts and sands. It's climbed mountains. This greatest story of the cross was preached on the riverbank in Philippi. It was echoed down through the streets of London. It was preached on the deck of the Mayflower, in the streets of America, in jails and in prisons. It's been preached in churches. It's been preached to the poor, to kings. Thank God. It was preached to me 47 years ago, and now I'm preaching it to you. Hallelujah. Well, glory! Hey! My Uncle J.N., he's been in heaven for a long time. When I was a little boy, he taught me my first chords on the guitar, that I'd sit on his knee. He'd come in from work, and he'd wash his face and hands, and the first thing he'd do is reach and get that old guitar, and he'd sit down, and I'll never forget, as a little boy sitting there, listening to my Uncle J.N., he'd say, "Tell me the old, old story." Hey, I don't never get tired of hearing it, neighbor. Oh, tell me about Jesus that preached the cross. Amen. When your church is in trouble, think with two messages that'll work. One, sin. Tie up that sin. And then the other is the cross.
Amen.
Put that stick in that bitter water there. It's a transforming story. When a person puts their faith in the shed blood of Jesus and His cross, neighbor, it transforms the heart. Hey, He'll take that old heart of stone. bone and give you a heart that can feel after God. Never. Dr. Bernard Christian, December 1965 in Johannesburg, South Africa, performed the first successful heart transplant. He took a heart out of a 19-year-old girl who had been killed in an accident and put it in the heart of a 65-year-old or a 57-year-old Jewish man, and they beamed the news around the world. The first successful heart transplant had been completed. Now they can do all kind of things. But they said that was the first. But I thought about this, Brother Charlie. God's been doing heart transplants for centuries. He can take that heart out, and he can put a new heart in that's pure, and it won't to live for Him, and that cares about serving God. And He don't leave in the incision. You don't have to take a bunch of pills. Thank God Almighty, He'll give you a new heart. Amen. Transforms the heart. Transforms the home. David, I remember the day when Jesus come home with me. Oh, my Lord. Oh, hey. If you folks knew me, what I was, you wouldn't want to hear me preach. I was a heathen. By the time I was 18 years old, I'd done been shot and stabbed. But I remember the day when Jesus come home. Changed that house into a home. It gives hope to the hopeless. Help to the helpless. It's a triumphant story, neighbor. I'm glad this story don't have a sad ending. It's triumphant because it satisfied the Father's wrath and holiness. And the justice of God was satisfied at Calvary, neighbor. Amen. Let me close by saying, it's a true story.
Amen.
This greatest story ever told. It's true. It's true. Oh, it's the greatest truth that was ever spoken or written, neighbor. That the virgin-born Son of God laid down His life a ransom for you and me. It's true, thank God. Thank God there is a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God there is grace. There is forgiveness. Hallelujah. It's true. It's true, thank God.
Amen, amen, amen.
It's true. Jesus does save.
Amen.
And it's true. He is coming back.
Amen. Amen. Amen.